the teacher must be able to keep the Vinaya purely, and the teacher must know everything the Vinaya, what to be adopted and what to be abandoned. He must make a very accurate, very correct, proper observation, understanding of these aspects. What is meant by you are second Buddha, clad in saffron? Now, is also mentioned in the Vinaya that a person who is able to keep the vow purely and able to keep motivation of benefiting others, this kind of person can be known as a second Buddhas. Someone who is able to teach skillfully the Dharma, not having to rely upon others, it can, no matter the past, present, or the future. Now, just like the Buddhas of the past are able to teach or disciple very properly, and such that the disciple can keep, just like a general being able to protect the country, so is a spiritual teacher able to uphold the Dharma, like a marshal of the Dharma, a Dharma lieutenant. Teacher is able to skillfully teach to give oral transmission, just like Buddhas of the past have upholded authentic Dharma. So such a teacher is a source of respect for Brahmins, a disciple with great compassion, able to offer the Dharma, offer material wealth. All these what a second Buddha, a first disciple who comes after the Buddha, these are a worthy disciple known as a second Buddha, worthy disciple of the Buddha. And these disciples of the Buddha who uphold the Dharma in these ways so well is also known as a second Buddha. So teacher who's a person who's wise, who's, who uphold Dharma like that, is known as an elder, is known as a second Buddha. So it was also mentioned about what abbot should be possessed of these other qualities. In the Vinaya is mentioned that a spiritual guide should be possessed of this quality. First, he must keep the vow purely towards the Tripitaka, the Vinaya, the Sutra, and the Abhidhamma. Must be able to be very rightly learned in it and not to be partially learned in any of it. The form must be pure, must be the ethic must be proper. So must know the sadhanas very well, must know how to bestow the shamanera and the bhikkhu vows. These are the qualities required of a teacher according to the Vinaya. So the next verse is saying that we need to contemplate the common sutra, what are the qualities of a teacher, and based on this description we make the second supplication, verse 44. Make request to you, Mahayana Guru, lots of Dharma, representing victorious one without exception, possess 10 quality that render you suitable guide along the path of those who've gone to please. Now these 10 kinds of qualities are also what is mentioned in the Lamrim. These 10 qualities are also what the Buddha, the Maitreya, in the Sublime Continuum Commentary also mentioned. First is that the teacher must be able to subdue or tame. Now it means that because of the teacher has Vinaya, so he is tame and subdued. Second, the teacher is peaceful. He is peaceful because he has Samadhi, possessed of meditative equipoise. The third quality is that the teacher is extremely peaceful because he is possessed of the fundamental wisdom. Just like in the world, now we are teaching the teachers worldly knowledge, this quality themselves. The worldly teacher must be even more wise with worldly knowledge more than the disciple. But if the if the disciple, the teacher, the quality and knowledge are equal, then there's nothing new that the teacher can impart to the disciple. So therefore, the teacher's merit and quality must definitely be more than that of the disciple. And the teacher's free learnings must also definitely be more than that of the disciple. So the fourth quality methodology is to be always persevere on in the Dharma teaching. Otherwise, the teacher may want to be lazy, and so he will not be able to benefit the disciple. So the fifth quality, the teacher must be able to use and apply all the extremely widely learned Dharma. So he must be able to know which phrase is from which sutra. Otherwise, the disciple asks the guru which phrase or which portion this part is from. The teacher cannot cite the necessary, cannot give the necessary citation for it. The sixth quality is that the teacher must be able to handle the right view, hold the right view of emptiness is given in the middle way, and to be understand the nature of emptiness very thoroughly. It's only through this that he can teach the disciple the root of the Dharma for breaking of grasping to an independently arising false sense of self. The seventh quality is that the teacher must be able to skillfully expound the Dharma. Why is that so? Because if the teacher in teaching the disciple, he is always admonishing the disciple, scolding the disciple, directly criticizing them, then it will make the disciple discouraged, unhappy, and it may disrupt a harmonious relationship between the teacher and disciple. When teaching the disciple, must be skillful and in guiding the disciple. Also, in the four ways of benefiting disciple is mentioned. One is that a teacher must be able to skillfully guide the disciple. Now, the eighth quality is that he must be able to help the disciple. The teacher must have a great compassion and love to the teacher. Only with this great compassion and love, will he want to take away the teacher's, allay the teacher's suffering a disciple. Only then will he want to benefit the disciple. Now, the ninth quality is that the teacher must have equanimity. Now, what it means is that the teacher, no matter what kind of disciple he has, whether disciple he like, dislike, poor or rich, he must be to teach them all with equanimity. Now, these are what's in the sublime continuum by Maitreya and in the Vinaya. These are the 10 qualities a teacher must have. Now, when we learn to teach, even if a teacher doesn't have, if the guru doesn't have this quality, then the guru must strive to have this quality so as to be able to be a suitable object reliance. Otherwise, if the disciple, after relying on the disciple, relying on the guru, see these faults of guru and start criticizing, then this is not appropriate. And so therefore, before there is a relationship being forged, then the disciple got to check very carefully to see whether the disciple possess or whether the guru is possessed of these qualities before adopting the teacher, before adopting a teacher. If the guru is able to possess of these qualities, then the guru is known as all the Buddha's substitute, all the gurus, all the Buddha's apostle. Towards this gurus like this, you must feel happiness, rejoice, and follow, because the guru carry out the activities of all the Buddhas, and so it is an object towards whom all the disciples should have devotion and respect to and happiness to, and so towards gurus like this, the disciples should make supplication. So. We rely on the guru. We must also rely upon what is taught in the Lamrim, which is the manner of relying on a guru. If possible, we can also rely upon the Maitreya Buddha's description on a guru possess of the 10 qualities as described by Maitreya Sublime Continuum. First of all, we need to wisely, accurately make assessment before we adopt anyone to learn from the disciple. So even if a guru doesn't have all the 10 qualities, we must still try our best to look for someone who has most of the 10 qualities, such as even ordinary people, when they are buying gold, they will make a careful assessment of whether the goal is authentic and true. burning and many other tests to see whether the purity or quality of gold. So they will only rely on the teacher if they feel that the teacher is possessed of qualities of most, if not all of this quality. And if you feel that the guru doesn't have this quality, the disciple should leave and to look for another teacher. This is what is mentioned in the Sutrayana about the qualities of a guru. So in the Vajrayana, the qualities of a guru actually have another whole list of qualities, as was mentioned in the next verse 45, it means that we make request to you, our foremost producer of Vajra. You are skilled in explaining and composing and endowed with both sets of 10 qualities, knowledge of Tantra, ritual, you are honorable without pretense of God, patient, broad-minded, three doors well subdued. So, patient. So, so in the Vajrayana, Vajrayana teacher, in the 40-50 stanza commentary is mentioned, first of all, the teacher must be stable and must be stable in terms of their realization virtual quality, in terms of protocol, their etc. So it just as was mentioned, the Vinaya, about the elder who possess of vows for more than 10 years have a strong steadfast Vinaya. So he moreover his mind must be subdued and tame. If today the mind is not subdued or tame, then the disciple will not be able to tame or subdue others. Now this is something was mentioned in the Lauren Chemo, whereby first of all the person must be subdued the mind and the body first ourselves before we can actually attempt to tame others. To tame means to have stopped all the non-virtues, the 10 top virtues, the defilements. All these can be subdued, and all the auspiciousness, all the virtue can be cultivated and allowed to grow. This was the meaning of to tame one's own mind. So the next following verse is that must be able to possess of the great wisdom, and for example, a person must be free, a teacher must be free from ignorance, must be able to have instead have the wisdom of impermanence, wisdom, emptiness, etc. Only those if possess a great wisdom, only then could the person practice purely properly. So the next is that the teacher must have the great patience. Now patience divided into three types. The first is to be patient towards the specific harm of others. Second must be able to be patient towards patience in the acquisition of deep knowledge, and patience in the difficult austere Dharma practice. Patience mainly is an antidote against anger. So and why, when practicing the Dharma, we are not able to progress on it? Because all the purchased Dharma we create are all destroyed by the afternoon, and because of anger, no patience, we are not able to progress along the Dharma path. So anger is like a thief who is able to steal away all the virtuous karma we have created. For the practitioner, patience is extremely important. The next, we must have a kind, we must have a right understanding. We cannot have a differentiation, discrimination towards friends, relative, attachment towards enemies. We have anger, aversion, and this is wrong. So especially for a practitioner, if it doesn't have equanimity, Dharma practice cannot progress. So therefore, with the people whom we are not close to, we must also have the same kind of equanimity, this form of attitude. Next, with Nam matter what we are doing, we have to be free from two forms of shortcoming. For example, let's say when weighing things, we need to be fair and just. For example, whether we're doing practice or any other matter, we need to be fair in our execution of what we are doing. Now, the next is that the teacher must be extremely, must know the tantric rituals and practice as well. For example, in Tantrayana, now it is also a medicine for stopping defilement. Now, besides this, it is like food or outfit. Now, we did not have too much because we have excessive amounts of them. That is, if we give rise to attachment, the teacher must also be able to enact all the four activities of peace increase, magnetizing, and wrath. Now, what it refers to is also, say, within Vajrayana, the manner of arranging the offering in a fire puja, what are the way to enact it. We cannot simply follow according to what is carelessly observed. All the offering must be proper, and all the ritual must be well versed in it. So only then, etc., all these qualities, only then could this person be known as a tantric guru. Besides that, the teacher must have great loving compassion, and a tantrayana teacher, when doing the fire puja or the other activity, a teacher must be able to do it loving compassion. Otherwise, doing these activities, they will not have good karma. Instead, it's just accumulation of negative deeds. So must be well versed, etc. Well versed in the five learnings, the medicine, in crafts, etc. Especially the inner science of the Buddha Dharma. This teacher, especially towards the inner science of the Dharma, this teacher must be extremely well versed in it. And Lam Rim Chen Mo, what is mentioned is that the teacher must know the commentaries very well. The commentary is to eliminate the inner signs of the Dharma, and if it's able to be, nature is well versed in medicine, in crafts, in craftsmanship, in painting, and the other outer sciences, these will be added bonuses to the qualities of a teacher. So, I think the teacher is honorable and without pretense of guile. And besides that, they're saying the teacher knows the mandala, mandala knowledge, its construction, its content, etc. The teacher know how to paint a proper mandala, its materials, its decoration, is able to skillfully expound the Tantrayana content. So towards the Sutrayana, the common vehicle, he's able to know them very well. He has great faith in it. With right a view, right understanding, and to be away from the five faults, and these will then constitute, by possessing this quality, can we say this person is a qualified tantric master. About what the tantric guru need to possess, actually the quality is huge, and we cannot have enough time to we will need to spend a long time in order to fully explain or exhaust the qualities required of a tantric guru. About a teacher's quality, the quality required by tantric guru in many commentaries also mentioned. Next portion is to contemplate on the teacher's great kindness, and we supplicate on this basis. Rinpoche is verse 46. We make our request to you, compassionate refuge, protector, precision, impart good will of those gone to bliss, underling beings of this journey, age were difficult to curb and were not tamed by countless Buddhas of the past. In this verse, the teacher is also mentioned that in the past, many Buddhas have come in the past, have been reborn here, and they have placed many disciples in the state of Buddhahood along the path, but we ourselves were not tamed by these Buddhas of the past, hence we are still here. Not just that, in the past, Kashapa Buddha, and many other Vipassana Buddha, etc. They have all been born before Buddha Shakyamuni, this Buddha of our age, but we have not met with them and were not taught by them. So similarly, the fourth Buddha, Shakyamuni, has come into our place when beings are 100 years, and Buddha Shakyamuni has 81 lived for 81 years, and he has placed countless beings on the path to Buddhahood, but we ourselves are still in samsara. And at the moment, we are not able to practice the Dharma, to listen to Dharma, to teach the Dharma. All these are through the kindness of the spiritual friend or the spiritual guide. They are great kindness. Since therefore, they are able to the spiritual guide is able to teach like all the Buddhas to you with great devotion and make supplication and take refuge. Especially with regard to this age, degenerate age, there is a defilement of life, defilement of views, etc. The five main kinds of defilement. The person who can really help us, the spiritual guide, hand therefore spiritual guides to his kindness, we make supplication. This verse 47, we make requests to you, compassionate refuge protector. You enact deeds of victorious one for the many beings who lack a protector refuge at this time when the sunlight teachings of the sage are setting. So this phrase, to elaborate further on it, it means that Buddha Shakyamuni, his teachings are like the sun, because of the time, it's like time setting, and it's now we ourselves are refuge, and without protector, we are sentient being without refuge and protector, as the Buddha's teaching is already said. Later on, what the Buddha has prophesied, many spiritual guides have come to the world, and Buddhas have come to the world, but we are not tamed and taught by them, so we have never had liberation as yet. Now, we must also understand that when a Buddha Shakyamuni manifested and enact many deeds for benefit of others, and most importantly is the turning wheel of Dharma, manifesting of the turning wheel of Dharma, speaking the Dharma for all sentient beings, this most important, this is like what Tsongkhapa in one of his praise hymns to the Buddha, he's saying that even though Shakyamuni Buddha is born and is actually given many prophecy authority to many of these great spiritual guides, but we have not been able to meet the Buddha or many of these great disciples of his that have come after him. So, and we also know that at this moment we have not been liberated, we have not been tamed or subdued. Now, luckily, through Tsongkhapa's teaching, through the spiritual guide, it's almost like having met the Buddhas and all the holy lineage masters of the past, and this is through the kindness of the spiritual guide. And we through this, we also understand what to adopt and what to abandon, what is true Dharma, to give rise to a lots of quality, such as the quality and grow forevermore. And towards this precious master, to inform precious master, in the three doors, we respectfully take refuge. So next, we say, we make request to you, O compassionate refuge protectors, even a single hair from your paw is for us a field of merit more highly praised than all victorious one of the three times and ten direction. Now this is a praise to the Guru as being as being superior to the Buddha, the three time, in the sense that they are a small, stronger view of merit for ourselves. Through this understanding, we make this supplication, and we be very strong devotion through body, speech, and mind. We make offerings to the Guru, to him, that all the qualities that he has, that we can enact through him, is more than what we can offer to our Buddhas of the three time. And for the Guru, thinking of his great quality, we make requests. And next is praising, through praising the Guru for outer, inner, secret, and suchness supplication. So at this part, many teachers have many different ways of explaining it. we are relying upon is upon the source of all the sutra teacher. He's got the commentary of this sutrayana master. So the first verse is that we make a request to you, compassionate refuge protectors, all the way to in an ordinary guise to lead all beings. That's phrase 49. The three body refer to the three bodies of the Buddha, and refuge protector refer to the teacher, and just like the Buddhas have turned the wheel of Dharma, so have you turned the wheel of Dharma. Now, what is mentioned here, the three body actually are manifested simultaneously in many commentaries, saying that these three bodies are manifested in sequential manner. However, at this moment, this three body is actually a simultaneous manifestation completely. And in certain rhymes, the Buddha, the Guru, show Namanakaya, certain rhymes, Sambhukaya, certain rhyme, Namanakaya. And at this moment, this spirit referred to the Guru manifesting the three bodies simultaneously or at one time. In Vajrayana, this is what they mention, and the three body is represented by the three syllables. Om represent the Vajra body, R is Vajra speech, Hong is Vajra mind. So similarly, in the Highest Yoga Tantra, and there are many different explanations also, saying that Om is a Vajra body and represent Dhammakaya, A is a Vajra speech and represent as Sambhukaya manifestation, Hong represent Vajra mind, also represent Namanakaya. A is Sambhukaya, Hong is Namanakaya. So because the three body has inconceivable quality, so having the body, there's also there are some explanations saying that it is inconceivable, saying it is etc. So but they all come down to the same point. In the past is mentioned the Bodhisattva manifests in many ways. Now, in many commentary, there are also many ways of explaining it, but now we are going to give a general explanation based on commentaries given. True path, skillful means and wisdom as the path, and so we arise the two bodies of Buddha. Two bodies of the Buddha refer to the form and the Dhammakaya, the form as well as the true bodies. Why are there all these such different manifestations? It's because in order to fulfill the manifestation of the Buddha for the liberation of all beings from samsara, so Bodhisattva actually manifests in infinite different forms. So therefore, even though the Buddha has not been manifested in the world, but through the Guru's form, the Dharma has been taught, and many manifestations are shown, and teaching Dharma is a Buddha activity. So through all these means, we must think that the Guru is the Buddha, and then through strong faith, make the supplication and prayers to the Guru. Now in the past, Lama Tsongkhapa also mentioned that the Buddha has a nature of the three body, but he manifests a Bodhisattva form, a Shravaka form, Prayaka Buddha form. He made many different activities and even manifests his Brahma, his Indra. So the benefit sentient being and to teach the Dharma to place them on the path of towards realization. So therefore, we must also always see the Guru as the Buddha and always make supplication and prayer to the Guru. Now, the beginning is to contemplate on the Guru's inner quality and make the refuge and make supplication. So the next one, just now we're making the outer, we're making supplication based on the Guru's outer quality. Now we're making supplication based on the Guru's inner quality. It's from we make request to you, Supreme Guru, all the way down to the Ruffle Protectors of the Five Buddha Families. This is supplication to the Guru based on the inner qualities. Just now is supplication to the Guru based on the outer quality. Now it means that the Gurus, the aggregates, the elements, sensory bases, the limbs, etc., the bodies, they are all the Buddhas, and the five Dhyani Buddhas, all the Bodhisattva, the male, female Bodhisattva, the Theravada protectors, and the Trinitra, the three jewel, all to you, Supreme Guru, we make a request to you. This phrase in a simple presentation means the guru of the great, great kindness is actually the Buddha, but actually manifests in human form to guide ourselves. And we must think that the guru's internal quality, especially his body, his limbs, etc., are not ordinary, but actually they are the Dhani family Buddhas, father and mother, etc. They are the Ashobhya, Virochana, Ranasambhava, Amoghasiddhi, Amitabha. So and think that he is also the nature of Tenrafu protectors. And knowing this, we through great devotion we make supplication to the Guru. Next phrase 51 is to supplicate to the Guru on the Guru's secret qualities. This phrase 51, make request to you, protectors of primordial unity, foremost holders of Vajra, forbidding lots of 100 Buddha family, affording from the play of omniscient pristine awareness, acquaint as the 10 million mandala cycles. Now this phrase, if you explain it in a simple, in a layman's term, the Guru's secret refers to the teacher of great kindness is actually the four levels of Tantra. The lot of the four classes of Tantra is also the Buddhas of the three times nature, and also all the manifestation of all the Buddhas, of the Bodhisattvas. With regard to Vajradhara, now what does it mean? Vajradhara means somebody who is embodiment of all the Buddha's wisdom, their compassion, all the mandalas, nature, and all the protectors. Then all this is then known, the embodiment of all the above are known as Vajradhara. So when contemplating the Guru, the being inseparable from Vajradhara, we give rise to strong devotion and faith, and hence we make the supplication prayers. So this unity, primordial unity actually means the life-sustaining central channel, the subtle manifestation of the subtle aspects. And all these are the definition for primordial unity. Now, what it also means is that the grasping of the inner Vajra, which means that all the main and the subtle wind can all be enter, bite and dissolve into the central channel, giving rise to subjective and then objective clear light, and giving rise to bliss, non-dual emptiness. And upon attainment of this, this is Vajrayana's most critical point or achievement. Now, with regards to unity, what does it mean? It means the sampling clear light, subjective and objective clear lights achievements. So, and understanding outer, understanding inner is also outer, inner are all nature, emptiness, and in Vajrayana. And this is what's known as the unity, or that is Sambhogakaya. So, and this is the reason why we call the Guru primordial, use primordial unity to describe the Guru, because it's attained such levels. Now, about the teacher who has realized bliss, not of emptiness. Now, this is known as unity. Sometimes it's called union, sometimes it's called bliss, non-dual with emptiness, and this refers to the state of Sambhogakaya. Now, the initial attainment of Buddhahood is Dhammakaya, and then a Lama who has achieved divinity is known to have attained the state of Sambhogakaya. So possess of the inherent nature or grasp of inherent nature, this Sambhogakaya Guru, with so many manifestations showing that the Manakaya, at first the five Dhani family Buddhas, and then later on the 100 Buddha family races. And how did they do that? Because each five family Buddha, each manifesting five respectively. So besides that, you can call it the Buddha possessive qualities of the three bodies. Besides that, we can also call it the singular Buddha. The singular Buddha refers to Vajradhara. Now, this phrase actually are derived from the root Tantra Guya Samaja, and so you can all make the reference. Now, following, and we need to actually visualize the suchness quality of the Guru and make supplication. In phrase 52, we make request to Immaculate Samantabhadra all the way down to simultaneous bliss in play without obstruction. What it means is here is that the Guru who is possessed of ultimate bodhicitta, in front of you, I make a request. We take a break for 5 minutes and then we'll continue. So, this phrase here, they are saying that praising the Guru's achievement of the completion stage sometimes is known as the non-duality of emptiness and great bliss. Sometimes you call it Mahamudra, sometimes you call it bliss, non-dual emptiness. In the Sakya tradition, they call it the clarity, non-duality. In Mahamudra, you call it Mahamudra, and in Nyingma, you call Dzogchen. In Gelugpa, you call it the ultimate attainment of the great completion. Now, but of course, attainment is final and the near final. Now, of course, in this case, you are praising the Guru's completion, mastery of the great completion. So, saying that you pervade everything, emotion and rest, which means it is indistinct. So in indistinct, there's neither the state of being static and the state of being of dynamism. So it actually pervades everything that exists in nature. There is no beginning or end. The Immaculate Samantabhadra, which in reality is ultimate bodhicitta. And so, to such a guru, to you in front of you, I respectfully make request, and this is the request in this is the supplication in terms of the guru's mastery of the aspect of suchness or manifestation of the aspects of suchness. Over here, they're saying that the primordial and being away from all boundary, the boundary or border, you call it one way of saying is that being possessing ultimate bodhicitta, this then is known as a ultimate guru. This then is known as ultimate guru, which means that a person who is able to possess of two forms of emptiness and away from adventitious conceptualization. Now, in the Vajrayana, the 80 kinds of adventitious conceptualizations are away from them now, and the adventitious thoughts are the main cause for samsaric existence. Now, when these are away, now it is dissolved into the state of Dhammakaya, and then you achieve the ultimate state of Buddhahood, and then there is ultimate perfection, and there's neither coming nor going. And in the Vajrayana, it is rather uncommonly described as it as being understanding external phenomena of the nature of emptiness, and of the nature of emptiness, it transforms into the nature of great bliss, and this is uncommon, the most profound aspect of the highest yoga tantra. Now, the bliss emptiness can be functioned, and at the same time, through these both aspects, the accumulation of merit and wisdom are simultaneously accumulated, and this is rather different from what is taught in the Sutrayana. Sutrayana is saying that for the nature of emptiness, you accumulate wisdom, and through great compassion, great wisdom, you accumulate merit. By Vajrayana, we are taking the every external phenomenon of the nature of emptiness, and on the nature of emptiness, you transform that into great bliss. And at the moment, you accumulate both accumulations together, and this is also known as great bliss Dhammakaya. Now, to explain it in simple terms, it means that all differentiation of defilements arise from self-grasping. So we need to know we use the wisdom of emptiness to break self-grasping, and then to attain liberation from there. At this moment, in at this place, in the Hajjokata Trust, a very special explanation is that the samsaric cause is the self-grasping as well as the karmic wind. So when the karmic wind dissolves, then the self-grasping is stopped, and then samsara also stopped. But this is explained only from the viewpoint of Hajjokata Tantra. Now, in samsara, why are we reborn here? Because due to differentiation and the karmic wind moving, it refers to the 80 kinds of adventitious thoughts. And so the karmic wind activating the adventitious thoughts, and then we are born in samsara. But all the Buddhas and the Manakaya are different in the sense that the wind have been transformed into the pure wind, and then this pure wind stimulate, trigger the birth of the enlightened beings, which is arises from the great bliss of the Makaya. But this explanation is only given from the viewpoint of the Hajjoga Tantra. But if you can grasp the essence of Hajjoga Tantra, then within one life you can attain Buddhahood. Now, if you want to attain Buddhahood in one single life, then we have to know the content of the Tantras. And the Tantra, there are many kinds, and within this Tantra, the most ultimate at the pinnacle is that of Guhya Samaja Root Tantra, and the Guhya Samaja's commentary, and all these essence are included within the Root Tantra and the explanatory Tantras. And even though in the four logic and the four, six commentary and the four commentary, such as in Sublime Continuum, they are very clear. They mention about the levels, stages of levels, and path of attainment. In the Prajna Paramita, also it is mentioned, but they are all indirectly suggested and covertly taught. So we need to actually master, understand how these individual winds should be stopped, such that clear light shall arise. And this is what we should learn. Hence, we must understand the content of the Hajjoga Tantra, especially the Guhya Samaja root and the explanatory Tantra. We really need to learn about them. Besides the Lama Chupa, in many other commentaries and texts, is also mentioned to see the Guru as Dhammakaya, and then to make supplications. Similarly, in the Dhamman Sutra, it's so popular, and in the China, I'm not sure, but not sure if most students who recite the Dhamman Sutra are able to grasp the meaning of the Dhamman Sutra perfectly. So His Holiness Dalai Lama is taught the Singapore students in Dharamsala. He taught the Dhamman Sutra to the Singapore disciple and give oral transmission. His Holiness the Dalai Lama in Dharamsala. Taiwanese disciple, not Singapore disciples. The Singapore disciple actually requests another text, but the Taiwanese disciple requests His Holiness to give them oral transmission to teach on the Dhamman Sutra. In many Tantra is also mentioned how to attain Buddhahood, especially the attainment of Sambhogakaya in the Vajrayana Pure Land of Kanishtha. Now, about visualizing the Guru to make the supplication to the Guru of the Dhammakaya, it is not Gyava Insapas and his son's little creation to perceive the Guru as the ultimate meaning, as the ultimate truth, as the ultimate Guru. In many Sutra Tantra, actually, it was mentioned that the Guru should be seen as embodying the ultimate truth, or is the ultimate truth himself. Similarly, in the Prajna Paramita Sutra, the Buddha actually told Venerable Subhuti that you should rely on the six perfections as a spiritual friend. You should rely on the six paramita as your spiritual friend. Besides that, another way of supplication is to pray about it to the nature that is away from adventitious, adventitious play. So there is also this way of supplicating to the Guru as being free from adventitious play. Now, above is to contemplate on the truth of the Guru, and the next one is known as the most as known as the supplication of fervent devotion. Besides fervent devotion, and also we also receive the four empowerments. and this belongs to the Vajrayana section of the Lama Chupa, and later on we will run through the Lamrim teachings. So you are the our guru, you are our Idam, you are Dagni, you are Dharma protector. So means that you are our guru, you are our Idam, you are our Dagni, you are Dharma protector, you are our the source of attainment, you are our source of blessing, you are our source of realization, you are source of activity. So besides the guru, I have no other refuge or protector other than yourself. Now, generally, you're saying that the Guru is the source of all blessing, Idam is the source of attainment, Dakinis and protectors are accomplishment of activity and the dispelling of obstacles. And the Guru, although the Guru, Idam and Dakini or protectors have all different functions, but when at this prayer here, we place the Guru as being embodiment of all these. And similarly, from the Guru, we can simply attain, receive a realization, attainment, dispelling of obstacle, accomplishment of activity. Hence, we learn the Guru is very important. In this phrase, we need to repeat three times. And what visualization is that we must think that the teacher of three kindness, the root guru, you are embodiment, you are the essence of the triple gem, and contemplate on the qualities of triple gem, and think that the root guru is our only refuge. And besides the root teacher, there's no other way, hope us, no other place where we can save us, can refuge and give us refuge. So single-pointedly, with a single-pointed devotion and faith, we take refuge in the Guru. So the manner of supplicating for protection, for saving, is that when in danger or we are being attacked or bullied by others, we clasp tightly to people who can protect us and ask for protection and faith. So here we must think of our root teacher is the embodiment of all Buddhas, of the three times of the nature of great compassion. So it can save us, all beings, such that all beings can be free from samsara, and it can be free from the three lower rhymes also. So we give rise to a very strong, very fervent, very devoted request. So you must also think that the Guru is the Buddha, and then we can bring us out of samsara. And then we ourselves, since we have not attained higher state at the moment, we have no other refuge. So therefore, we give a strong supplication, faithful supplication to the Guru to save us from samsara. And at the same time, to request the Guru as being of the combined essence of all the triple gem, and pray that he will save us. It's a supplication to the Guru that he's embodiment of all the Idam's nature, and then hope that the Guru can give us the common and uncommon attainments. And after making this application, we should visualize that the Guru is the lot of the three time Dakas and Dakinis, and then the Guru as the essence of all is the essence and lot of all Daka Dakini. And until Buddhahood is attained, I pray to the Guru to accomplish for accomplishment of all activities. So this moment, we think that the Guru is embodiment of the essence of nature of all Dharma protector, and pray to the Guru for accomplishment of all holy activities. Next, we request to the Guru that no matter this future life or even the Badu, please may I not be separated from you. Please hold us with the hope of compassion. Now, this is an extremely, extremely fervent, extremely devoted supplication. So, therefore, this phrase is known as the phrase of fervent devoted, the phrase of supplication of fervent devotion. So, yeah, the 54th verse is by the force of having thus requested three times nectar or rays, white, red, and dark blue, stream forth from the centers of a group bodies, which are mine, one by one, all together. They dissolve into our three centers individually, and then together the four stickers are purged, four palms implanted. The seeds of four karma receive smiling emanation. Guru dissolve to us, we are blessed with inspiration. Now, that's line 54, which means that through such requesting three times, the Guru body, speech, and mind light stream forth, and then white, red, and dark blue, and then and then one by one, and then all together, and then they dissolve into our three centers. And the four obstacles are purged, the four impediments are implanted, and then the four bodies of the Buddha are received, and then a smiling emanation of the Guru dissolve into us, and then we are blessed with all blessings and inspiration. So, how should we visualize? We must think that through the supplication we have made, the Gurus, Guru Vajradhara, is very happy. So, from the forehead, white light rays issue forth, and then light rays with nectar and dissolve into our corresponding forehead. We must visualize that because of the Guru blessing into us, it purifies all the form karma from sexual misconduct, killing, stealing, and every bodily negative karmas are all purified, including its habitual tendencies, especially with regard to attachment to ordinary, including cleansing or grasping to ordinary appearances, and receive the vast empowerment. Now we must give rise to very strong faith and understanding that the ordinary perceptions of samsaric being is purified, and that it gives a very strong cause for attainment of the Namanakaya, strong cause for attainment for attaining the Namanakaya of the Buddha. Now the next part of visualizing is from the Guru's letter, red nectar like issue forth and dissolve into our throat. Next, you should visualize that when the nectar has dissolved into our throat center, it has purified all the speech negative karma, and no matter what kind of negative karma from speech, divisive speech, harsh speech, meaningless speech, untrue speech, especially attachment to the karmic winds, adventitious play, attachment to it, being attached to the karmic wind, adventitious play, all these are purified, and negative karma arising from the speech are all purified too. And what we attain instead of the secret initiation, and there is a strong cause for ourselves to attain the speech empowerment. For us to attain the Sambhogakaya, and this is correspond to the speech empowerment. Next, we visualize that from the Guru's heart, blue home letter, blue light nectar issue forth, and then dissolve into our hearts. Because of the blessed nectar dissolving to ourselves, all these negative karma arising from the mind are purified, including its habitual tendencies are also purified, and especially it purify the obscuration that obstruct the arising of the great bliss, non-dual with emptiness. So, this phrase, from this phrase, receive the wisdom empowerment, and then give us a powerful cause for attaining the Dhammakaya of a Buddha. Next, what we visualize is that from the Guru's body, speech, and mind, Om Ahum, all simultaneously light rays of white, red, and dark blue, light nectar, issue forth from the Guru to these three places and dissolve into our three places. From these, they purify the body, speech, and mind, all the negative karma, and then receive the word empowerment, the fourth initiation, and so that such that we attain the state of union, the state of unity of Vajradharahood in the past, and we give rise to strong faith that we indeed achieve this with the empowerment from the Guru. In many commentaries, mentioned that the practitioner themselves belong to the Vajrayana, so when we bless that we'll be able to enter the path of Vajrayana and to swiftly attain the state of unity, and I hope that the Guru give us the four empowerments. Now we must contemplate that because of the Guru's nectar having filled up our entire body, especially because the nectar has filled our throat. the throat being especially being filled with the white and red Bodhi nectar or white and red bodhicitta, such that from beginningless time everything that we have created divisive, meaningless, harsh and untrue speech, all these negative karmas are all purified. And especially, yes, purified wind, this mantra bond, and all these, the defilements that arise from speech, and arise and allow the body to be cleansed, to be purified, and become clean, just like crystal of the nature of light, and especially, yes, blessed wind drops and channels. That everything is being purified. This is also this also give us allow us, giving us the cost to achieve illusory body, and allow us in the future to attain Sambhogakaya, strong bestower of the cost for attainment of Sambhogakaya. So at the moment we have to give rise to think that as a result having received the secret initiation give rise to great joy that we have received the secret empowerment, and then we make further supplication to the Guru, the great Vajradhara, to give us the great wisdom empowerment. As a result of the fervent supplication, the Guru Vajradhara and the mother Vajradhara, and like there is another emanation another emanated form of this father mother that another the Vajradharishvari actually this the four joys are being experienced, and then in sequential progress are all received, especially that the four great bliss are all received, and then at the moment all the adventitious movement of karmic winds are ceased, and everything has been pacified into the great peace and into the state of great Dhammakaya, and oneself enter into this space, into this into the space like samadhi. So we have to understand that this great the clear light has great clear light of Dhammakaya is has arisen, and you have to understand that the great bliss Dhammakaya within our mind having come arisen in our body, the great Dhammakaya is attained, and this is the uncommon highest yoga tantra's practice, and through practice of highest yoga tantra we can within one lifetime alone attain the highest unsurpassed state of Buddhahood. And going back to the front, Lama Tsongkhapa has mentioned that if we can arise it, have a love ariser of great bliss, our great bliss, if we can actually arise, and it's good others imagine we actually imagine we have the arising of the great bliss, otherwise make aspiration that the future we'll be able to attain full familiarity, allow us to give us the cause for attainment of these, and so we should diligently exert ourselves in this way. Now going back to the front, I think from how the Guru with regard to the third empowerment and emanated mother come to us and then we are bestowed the consort by the emanated mother from the Guru Sat, and we will stop here in a moment. Even if we can't experience great bliss, we just imagine we actually hope to have this bliss, great bliss in the future. So we stop here for today. Thank you.